and it is time. We are joined in the studio this morning by Fireman Kenny.
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, all the listeners. KMG 365, Fireman Kenny's on the air, helping you to stay safe in a world where danger never takes a vacation. And as always, I've got my monthly shout-out. So our first shout-out goes to Ginger Knapp, trauma coordinator for Fredert Hospital West Bend and Menominee Falls campuses. Ginger was able to conduct trauma case reviews on three separate days to train all three shifts. The case reviews are invaluable to help West Bend Fire Department paramedics treat trauma patients in the field and make appropriate transport decisions to improve patient outcomes. And Ginger, obviously, is a friend of the show. She's been in here a few times.
Right.
So thanks to Ginger for all she does. She does a great job. So I really like having Ginger come into the firehouse and help out with these items. Second shout out goes thank you to the West Bend Moose Lodge for their support of public safety. Moose International Chairman of the Board, Paul Curtis, was in town for the Moose Lodge meeting. They gave a show of support for public safety and public service. Tommy Moose stuffed animals were given to the West Bend Fire Department, West Bend Police Department, and the Washington County Sheriff's Department to give to children experiencing emergencies involving public safety intervention. So a great meeting we had there. So thanks to them for providing lunch for all of us, as well as all the support that we get from the people who belong to the Moose Lodge. And thank you to all of the people who attended the Fire Prevention Week kickoff event at the Washington County Fair Park on October 1st. The event sparks the interest in the annual Fire Prevention Week campaign. Thank you to the Washington County Fair Park staff and the Washington County Highway Department for their assistance. And thank you to the Allenton, Beechwood, Campbellsport, Fillmore, Jackson, Keewaskum, Colesville, Newburgh, and St. Lawrence Fire Departments for their participation.
Did you have a good crowd?
Yeah, I had a pretty good crowd. Actually, we had people showing up long before we were even ready. So we started setting up at 4:30 and people were coming in. So we got to interact with a lot of kids and a lot of parents. So thanks to everybody who came out, because showing support for fire prevention and Fire Prevention Week efforts of the Washington County Fire Departments, as well as Beechwood from Sheboygan County and Campbellsport from Fond du Lac County.
And it was a beautiful night for it.
Oh, it was a great night. We couldn't have asked for better weather in October.
Yeah. You know,
it was beautiful. So thank God we didn't have snow or anything like that this early in the season.
Right.
So it was a good night to have that Fire Prevention Week kickoff event. Hopefully we can make that an annual event. We started it last year because of COVID, and hopefully that we can continue this because, again, a lot of these fire departments have their other activities during the week, school visits, Fire Prevention Week open houses. So hopefully there's a continued interest in this kickoff event in years to come at the fairgrounds. A great location, pretty much center of the county. Great way to get not only the county fire departments there, but a location that the out-of-county fire departments can join us as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Is it sprinkler time?
It is. So monthly sprinkler saves are also known as fires you never hear about, because there's no news in something that was stopped from happening. As I pointed out, I'm an advocate of fire sprinkler systems and a dues-paying member of the National Fire Sprinkler Association, www.nfsa.org. Be sure to follow the National Fire Sprinkler Association on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. All right, so our first one, a fire that started in a truck at the loading dock at a pick-and-save in the city of Delafield ended up causing an estimated $1 million in damages and closed the store. Lake Country Fire and Rescue was dispatched at 10:43 a.m. on Sunday, September 5th for a possible fire at Pick and Save, 3161 Village Square Drive. When crews arrived on the scene, they discovered heavy fire coming from a tractor and trailer that were backed up to the loading dock of the store. Crews used an ultra-high-pressure attack line to take on the fire, said Lake Country Fire and Rescue Chief Matt Fennig. The fire had also spread to the store. Crews made a defensive fire attack on the tractor trailer and transitioned into the loading dock area to search for fire extension, a news release stated. The interior crew used their hose line to extinguish the fire that had breached the exterior wall. Smoke and heat damage was found in the store area of the loading dock, and automatic sprinkler heads were activated because of the high heat. The fire inside the store was brought under control quickly, but smoke had filled the entire building, resulting in high levels of carbon monoxide, the news release stated. As crews continued to extinguish the trailer fire, ventilation efforts began inside the store, along with shutting down the automatic sprinkler system in an effort to save merchandise. Fennig said the store was evacuated. No one was injured in the blaze. So again, we have something that started from the exterior, made its way to the interior, and fire sprinkler systems worked their way to extinguish this fire.
Right, right. Okay.
So, and because we've only had 3 weeks between the two times I was on, so we only had one from Wisconsin. And again, so when I pick one from out of state, I try to highlight something that has become a problem or a story that highlights how something out of your control could save your life in these sprinkler buildings. So this one's from Portland, Oregon. So a tent caught fire and spread to a four-story apartment building in the 2100 block of Southeast Powell Boulevard early Sunday morning, September 26th. According to Portland Fire and Rescue, the fire was contained before too much damage was sustained. The building had vinyl siding, which burns quickly. The fire activated a sprinkler inside the building, and there were no injuries and no one was displaced. Officials said the fire could have been much worse. The fire began due to carelessly discarded smoking material.
No way.
Serious. I cannot believe it. I'm shocked and dismayed. Houseless tent fires increased from 1 in February of 21 to 64 in April of 21. The latest data recorded in May of 2021 from PFNR shows 45 fires for the month of May. In May, it accounted for the most number of calls for Portland Fire and Rescue, followed by trash fires with 42 calls in May of 21. So this is a problem, epidemic proportions on the West Coast. So a number of homeless people that their tents are starting on fire. I'm actually presenting with people at the American Burn Association annual conference in April in Las Vegas on the epidemic of the tent and homeless fires that are happening, causing the fires and causing burn injuries. So we aren't seeing it much here in the Midwest, but out on the West Coast, California, Oregon, Washington State, they're having these in epidemic proportions. And again, this one highlights a problem where this tent was next to a building, and luckily the sprinkler system was in this building and able to extinguish this fire.
A four-story building with vinyl siding, it seems... I know you do things different parts of the country, but four stories with vinyl siding seems strange to me.
Yeah, I would have to look and see what year this building was built and what the codes were when at that time the building was built. So, yeah, I have to look and see what were the acceptable practices at that time. So, again, this could be an older building. I don't know much about the building,
right?
But we'll have to see what caused this to happen.
And here we are with we're at Fire Prevention Week.
Fire Prevention Week, the most important week for firefighters across the nation and across the world. So Fire Prevention Week is observed each year during the week of October 9th in commemoration of the Great Chicago Fire, which began on the evening of October 8th of 1871 and caused devastating damage. This horrific conflagration killed more than 250 people, left 100,000 people homeless, and destroyed more than 17,400 structures and burned more than 2,000 acres of land. So even though the Great Chicago Fire is the most well-known fire from that day, there were several fires throughout the Midwest that burned on October 8th and 9th. The deadliest one was the Great Peshtigo Fire, which killed somewhere between 1,200 and 2,500 people. Unlike the Great Chicago Fire, which did its damage over a relatively small but densely packed area of a major city, the Peshtigo Fire burned throughout the wild forest of rural Wisconsin. The entire fire covered an area about twice the size of Rhode Island, and it claimed 12 rural communities before finally subsiding. The town that had the tragic fate of being at the center of the blaze was Peshtigo. Well over 1,000 people in this one frontier town perished on October 8th. Victims of either the fire itself or from drowning or succumbing to hypothermia while taking refuge in the frigid water. The fire first approached the town around 8:30 p.m. that night. By 10 p.m., the air was no longer breathable.
150 years ago.
150 years ago. So, again, this is now becoming the stuff of legend. So, hopefully, we never forget the lessons learned from that evening.
I should mention that Bill Mitchell, our friend from Buzz Country, was actually in Peshtigo last weekend. They have a big observance kind of thing, and he was actually up there camping.
Oh, yeah, and Peshtigo has the Peshtigo Fire Museum, so if you ever get up to Peshtigo, make sure to visit the Peshtigo Fire Museum. I believe that's in the center of town. I've been through Peshtigo, but the museum was closed. I did not get a chance to get up into the museum.
Ah,
All right. So since 1922, so almost 100 years, we've been observing Fire Prevention Week. So since 1922, the National Fire Protection Association has sponsored the public observance of Fire Prevention Week. In 1925, President Calvin Coolidge proclaimed Fire Prevention Week a national observance, making it the longest-running public health observance in our country. During Fire Prevention Week, children, adults, and teachers learn how to stay safe in case of a fire. Firefighters providing life-saving public education in an effort to drastically decrease casualties caused by fire. The theme for this year's Fire Prevention Week campaign is Learn the Sounds of Fire Safety. This year's campaign focuses on the importance of smoke alarms and carbon monoxide alarms to help keep people safe from the dangers of fire and carbon monoxide. I'm going to throw in the importance of having combustible gas alarms as well, especially after we had the house explosion in the town of Barton this summer. So again, smoke alarms, carbon monoxide alarms, and combustible gas alarms are pretty important items to have in your home.
And part of what they're talking about with know the sound is that know whether or not it means that your battery is dead or your house is on fire. There are two different sounds.
Yes. Actually, there's more than that. So if you really look at the alarms themselves, so there's the low battery alarm, there's the fire warning or the carbon monoxide warning or the combustible gas warning, and then there's also the end of life notifications on those. So we get a lot of calls for smoke alarms and carbon monoxide alarms that are beeping, but that's because they've reached their age limit. So most smoke alarms are only good for 10 years, and most carbon monoxide alarms are only good for 7. And there's a lot of times where I'll go in places where I've installed smoke alarms, and they're like, oh, this one's bad. It's been beeping. And I'm like, it's only been a couple of years. But then as I'm listening, and again, I've got bad hearing, so for me to hear it, it's a lot. But I can hear a carbon monoxide alarm going off. There was one I was searching for in a basement. It was actually plugged into an outlet, but under an end table. There was another one that was actually up in the wall area between the studs that they had plugged it in a high area and then stuffed it in there. So it took a little bit of searching by the fire crew that I had on scene with me to find this carbon monoxide alarm. So again, when you're knowing what you're looking for, make sure to grab the smoke alarm or the carbon monoxide alarm. And again, we always recommend smoke alarms with a plug-in and a battery backup. So the battery backup really should be the 10-year lithium-ion battery backups. Same thing for the carbon monoxide alarms. And if you don't have hardwired interconnected smoke alarms, then the 10-year battery lithium-ion batteries should be the ones that you install in your home.
All right.
So as I've talked about on the show before, working smoke alarms save lives. Statistically, working smoke alarms in residential homes cut the risk of dying in a home fire in half. So install smoke alarms in every sleeping room, outside each separate sleeping area, and on every level of your home. Install alarms in the basement. Larger homes may require additional smoke alarms to provide the minimum level of protection. So when I've gone through, there was actually a larger home. The most I've ever installed in a home is 12. So to get all the bedrooms, all the separate areas in the basement. It seems like overkill, but the earlier you get notification, the earlier people get out of the house, the earlier the fire department gets notified. Remember, big fires start out small. So if we can hit your fire and get it extinguished when it's small, you'll have a greater chance of staying in your home and having less damage because we got there sooner.
Right. If the only smoke detector you've got is that one way up on the wall in the up on the second floor bedroom, it's not enough.
Right. You definitely need more. So, as I'll go towards the end, I'll tell how to get smoke alarms installed in your home. So interconnect all smoke alarms throughout the home for the best protection. When one alarm sounds, they all sound. Make sure that you can hear the sound of the smoke alarm. Choose smoke alarms that are listed by a qualified testing laboratory, such as Underwriters Laboratories. Install smoke alarms away from the kitchen to prevent nuisance alarms. They should be at least 10 feet away from a cooking appliance. Test smoke alarms at least once a month using the test button. Oh, and this is very important, too, because I've been finding that some of these smoke alarms have, they must have computer chips or something in them. They know when you haven't been testing them. So that'll be another beep to make sure that you're testing and resetting, especially on some of the newer model hardwired interconnected. If you're not testing them and testing all of them, so make sure you know where they all are. You probably, if you've got a newer home, you've probably got at least one in the basement, at least one on the first floor, and at least one on the second floor. Make sure you're testing them all, because after a few months, they will beep. You're going to call me and say, hey, what's going on with my smoke alarms? And then I'm going to find that you hadn't tested it. I actually found one on a home that it said test weekly. So I'm like, I don't know if you need to do it that much, but make sure you're testing them once a month. Make sure everyone in the home understands the sounds of the smoke alarm and knows how to respond. Replace all smoke alarms when they are 10 years old. Replace combination smoke and carbon monoxide alarms according to the manufacturer's recommendations. And again, carbon monoxide is probably only going to last 7 years. So if it's a dual alarm, that's why you should replace it at seven. That's why I always recommend having separate smoke alarms and separate carbon monoxide alarms in your home. Install and maintain carbon monoxide alarms outside each separate sleeping area and on every level of your home. Follow the manufacturer's instructions for placement and mounting height. Test carbon monoxide alarms at least once a month and replace them if they fail to respond when tested. Replace carbon monoxide alarms after 7 years, according to the manufacturer recommendations, or when the end-of-life alarm sounds.
You know, the other thing that it's important, I think, is to look and buy, for something that's important, don't buy the cheapest knockoff one you can find. You know, buy a recognizable brand, right?
Yeah. Well, even then you run the risk of, like, Kitta just had a bunch of smoke alarms recalled. So you do run that risk. But yeah, make sure to find a brand and do your research a little bit and find out how things are being rated by the people that are buying them. So I just bought a couple of standalone combustible gas alarms. It was rated by one website as the best one. But then when I went on Amazon to buy the two alarms, it had 8% one star. So again, that's not a lot, but it's enough to make me concerned that I might not have enough protection. So in my basement, I do have one. I believe it's a Kitta. Again, I can't recommend one brand over another, but I believe it's a Kitta, and it's a combination carbon monoxide and combustible gas alarm. And then I'll install these no-name brand combustible gas alarms somewhere closer to my furnace and water heater. That way I do get the early warning should something happen in my home.
Right. All right. So, and again, let's talk about how people can get smoke alarms if they don't have them.
Yeah, so just a reminder that if you need smoke alarms installed in your home, we have smoke alarms free of charge from the American Red Cross. Also, our Savior's Lutheran Church donated a number of smoke alarms. So again, I can install upwards of 6 smoke alarms in your home. And again, if I go to your home and do an assessment and you may need more, if you go and buy more, I'll install as many as it takes. You can get 6 for free. If you need to buy 6 more, I'll install all 12 of them. So to set up an appointment for installation, you can call my office, 262-335-5055. And don't forget that after October 24th, you'll still have to dial the 262, even if you're local. So again, that number for my office, 262-335-5055, to make an appointment to install smoke alarms in your home.
The important part about that, I think people are going to discover about the third day in that they have things that aren't working that are pre-programmed. Fax machines.
Oh, yeah.
If anybody's still got a fax machine. I would think home security systems.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be an issue. You're going to see some strange things happen, I think, with people who just don't think they need to reprogram that stuff.
Right. Yeah. So make sure, like, if you have burglar alarms or fire alarms, to check with your servicing company to make sure that that's going to dial out correctly. Because remember, even if it's a cellular number, it may need the 262 or whatever area code it's dialing as well. And at some point, we're going to have to talk about the cellular fire alarm systems with 3G. So at some point when I do a little more research, we'll have to talk about that. because there a number of the cellular companies are phasing out the 3G. So then your fire alarm and burglar alarm systems that are using 3G cellular technology will no longer be working.
Ah, okay.
So we'll talk about that at some point in the future.
All right. Sounds good. Well, hey, it's October. Halloween is practically here. We've got the first. In fact, I'll be down there downtown on Friday playing Halloween music as a trick-or-treat downtown. So we'll talk about Halloween safety.
Yeah, so it becomes very timely with that party coming up and the trick-or-treating coming up. So for Halloween safety, according to the National Fire Protection Association, from 2013 to 2017, an average of 780 home structure fires begin with decorations per year. About 44% of these fires occurred because decorations were too close to a heat source, such as a candle or hot equipment. More than 37% of these fires were started by candles. 21% of the decoration fires started in the kitchen, and 16% began in the living room.
Yeah, draping black and orange crepe paper over your stove is a bad, bad idea.
Yeah, I don't know if people know, but crepe paper is pretty flammable. So it's, yeah, it's got a lot of surface area. It can burn pretty quickly. You put it near a candle, it's going to light on fire.
Yeah.
So please don't do that. Please keep it away from heat sources. So the NFPA has top five Halloween fire safety tips. So one is use a battery-operated candle or glow stick in your jack-o'-lanterns. When choosing costumes, stay away from long trailing fabric. Teach children to stay away from open flames, including jack-o'-lanterns with candles in them. But those won't have them because I just told you to put glow sticks in them.
Right.
Or electric candles.
I think that's what they're – what do they do for the drive-through one that the city does? They're doing that again this year. I think they're doing glow sticks.
Okay.
Jackie told me.
Okay. I'll have to call Jackie and see what she's doing about that. But hopefully she follows safety tip number one.
And I'm sure it wasn't candles, but I don't remember what she told me they were doing.
Yeah.
But
provide children with flashlights to carry for lighting or glow sticks as part of their costume. And remember to keep exits clear of decorations so nothing blocks escape routes. Make sure all smoke alarms are working.
Yeah, not a good plan to, you know. Stack those bales of hay in front of the only, the exit out of the room.
Exactly. And, bales of hay really shouldn't be in any interior building. Please don't have bales of hay in your structure. So, and again, hay is probably more flammable than in that crepe paper. So make sure that you are not putting bales of hay inside a building.
Or loose hay
right
on the floor.
I've seen that before.
Yeah.
So do not. Yeah. So there's been other parties I've been to where people have put the hay on the floor and don't do it. Do not put hay inside of a building. Just don't do it. Please don't do it. I'm begging you. I'm asking you. I'm telling you. Just don't put hay inside a building.
There we go.
So other safety tips to remember. So all costumes, wigs, and accessories should be fire resistant. Avoid masks that can obstruct vision. And drivers, be sure to watch for children walking on roadways, medians, and curbs at twilight and later in the evening. Watch for children in dark clothing.
All right. And you should bring Sparky over.
I should. Actually, Sparky, I believe, is going to be at the YMCA daycare this morning at 9:30. So, So Friday night. So Friday night, what time is that thing?
Between 5 and 7.
Yeah, I'll see if Sparky can – we'll see what kind of thing. Because Sparky – Sparky's a dog, so he's a pack dog. So he's running around with all the other German Shepherds and all the other hounds out there. So we'll see if Sparky has time or if he's going to be at the dog park with all of his dog park buddies. But I'll see if I can get Sparky down there on Friday evening to be down there.
Yeah. All right. And lots of stuff going on in October.
Oh, yeah. So not as many things in October as in May, because May is cracked with everything for that fills that month. But for October, we've got Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Financial Planning Month, Halloween Safety Month, which I talked about, National Crime Prevention Month. So I don't know if we have either Marty Schulteis or anybody coming in to talk about Crime Prevention Month on the show. But that's an important one for the month. National Sudden Cardiac Arrest Awareness Month, Church Safety and Security Month, National Physician Assistance Week, October 6th to the 12th. Emergency Nurses Week is October 10th to the 16th. So we got to make sure to celebrate all of our friends who are the emergency nurses at Frederick West Bend, Aurora Hartford, and Aurora Grafton. So thank you to all you emergency nurses out there on your special week, the October 10th to the 16th. National School Bus Safety Week, which is October 18th to the 22nd. And Respiratory Care Week is October 24th to the 30th. So thanks to all the respiratory care workers out there for what you do.
All right.
And then we roll into November. So daylight savings time ends. I'm sorry, not daylight savings time. It's daylight saving time, not a plural.
Right.
So daylight saving time ends on Saturday, November 6th. So that's 2 a.m. on Sunday, November 7th. Be sure to test your smoke alarms, carbon monoxide alarms, and combustible gas alarms when you change your clocks. If any of them have batteries, be sure to change those batteries in them. So again, those are the 9 volts or double A's that are in there. You never have to worry if you've got the 10-year lithium ion batteries about changing those. November also has chronic obstructive pulmonary disease or COPD month. The two major ones are emphysema and bronchitis. November is also diabetes awareness month, epilepsy awareness month, lung cancer awareness month. International Stress Awareness Week is November 2nd to the 5th. National Animal Shelter Appreciation Week is November 7th to the 13th. Crash Responder Safety Week is November 8th to the 14th. So the DOT, MPO paramedic Steve Stockhausen is actually going to be featured in one of the ads that is being produced by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation for the incident that happened. I believe that was 2018 where the Med 11 almost got hit on the freeway. There was already an accident on the freeway. So for those of you who don't remember this incident, there was an accident on the freeway. Med 11 was parked on the shoulder in front of, I believe it was a state trooper that has the dash cam. Lane 2 was also blocked by another, I think it was Washington County Sheriff's. And so the traffic was moving slow. A woman who was worried more about her breakfast sandwich and looking down, not paying attention, then caused a secondary accident. And firefighter paramedic James Camiller came pretty close to death as that the car that was hit came only within inches of almost striking him and Med 11. So we got very, 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 very lucky that day. So National Nurse Practitioner Week is November 14th to the 20th. World Antibiotic Awareness Week is November 18th to the 24th. The Great American Smokeout is Thursday, November 18th. And Thanksgiving is November 25th. So next month's show, we're going to talk about the safety of turkey fryers for this show and for Halloween for all of you who love your deep fried turkeys as I do. But make sure to be careful with your turkey fryers and don't use them inside a structure, please. Thank you.
In the garage is a bad place.
Oh, yeah. So
in the basement is worse.
Yeah. Basement would be far worse because not only do you have the fire danger, but you've got the carbon monoxide danger as well. And as you gave me the press release from a few years ago, the Racine Fire Department lost a garage, a standalone garage, luckily, not attached to the house, but somebody using their turkey fryer in a garage caused their garage to burn down.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. It seems like we're getting the West Bend Fire Department been very, very busy.
We've been extremely busy. So 2 weeks ago, had 126 calls in a week. We only averaged 85. Last week, I think it was 106. We've had to turn down some interfacility transfers from Frederick West Bend because we just didn't have the staffing or the ambulances to do it. Again, we've had a lot of back-to-back calls, and even one day where we had back-to-back calls. So it's becoming extremely busy over by us. So if you have stuff that you want us to do, we will make every effort to get there for all the public education events. But just so you know, there's sometimes we may not get to everything that we need to get to in any given day.
Sure.
So thank you to all our mutual aid partners so that the day with the back-to-back call, actually, the Jackson Fire Department was available to respond to that call and take that patient to Frederick West Bend.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks, Rick. Thanks to all the listeners. KMG 365, Fireman Kenny is returning to quarters.